Ramsey TV.
Difficult to believe, isn't it, that so many people in the world don't know the creator of the world? It may be that I'm out of fuel on this lighter. See, I'm a quick study and I'm getting the idea. Let me run off and get a different lighter. It'll be worth it to you, just, and especially to me. One moment. Appreciate your patience there. Thank you very much. Here we go. Yeah, I have to resort to this. Delicious. This is Martin Zender. It's a beautiful background you got to look at there. Got a little party light back here. Got a god light up there. And have a human, some kind of human creation there. Tungsten operation going on there. It's amazing, really, that God has kept himself from so many people. And the agent he uses for it is Satan. Satan, as we know, has built a competing system, a competing tabernacle, and has had the audacity to put the name of God and Christ on it. And it's so slick that almost everybody in the Western world believes it. Well, not just the Western world. I'm just speaking of Christianity there, but actually Satan, being the devious creature that he is, has different religions for different parts of the world to make sure he has everything covered, every human being saturated, coated with a false system of worship. But the most deceptive religion of all, of course, is Christianity, because it has the audacity to name the name of Christ. I'm going to read an article to you by my friend Dan Sheridan. He wrote this back in April of 2014. It's called If I Were the Devil. Now, for some people, it would be a stretch to write something like this, to put themselves in the place of the devil. But for Dan Sheridan, it was not a stretch at all. If I Were the Devil by Dan Sheridan. If I were the devil, I would build a building and call it a church. I would put a cross on the building. I would add other decorative features to make people feel religious. I would create religious learning institutions called seminaries. I would hire a pastor who graduated from my institution of learning. You see, I need to create an aura around my ministers. They need to appear to have a special hotline to heaven. That way the sheep will follow. I need the sheep to think that these institutions have access to truth that the common person doesn't have. That way the sheep will follow their pastor who graduated from my school. I would hire an assistant pastor. I would start a Sunday school. I would create a youth pastor position. If I can get the children, I've got the parents. I would implement programs for singles and married couples. I would write a doctrinal statement which included the Trinity and eternal torment. Isn't it strange that eternal torment is an attractive teaching? It just hit me. I would write a doctrinal statement which included the Trinity and eternal torment. Wow. Satan knew that eternal torment... Oh, this is blowing my mind. Satan knew that eternal torment would be a draw. We live in a sick world, ladies and gentlemen. It's not getting well. It needs a real beating. Oh, here's another verification of the fact, no pain, no gain. When God's judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness. God doesn't send the world into the corner. He doesn't direct it with a little soft little stick. He doesn't reason with it. He's already done that. Done that for thousands of years. No, I say it's a bit of a brand of harsh, tough love, I would say, tough love. It's called the tribulation. Wow, there's a verification of what I've been telling you for 3 days. I would write a doctrinal statement which included eternal torment. That would be the plan to get people. That would be the plan to get people into the system. You would think that writing a doctrinal statement that said everyone is saved. Oh, and there's a light in motion there. That's a plane taking off from Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, you would think that in order to get people into your system, you would invent this great happy news that everyone, all of your loved ones, will eventually return to God. But apparently, not apparently, it's a fact. That message repels people. You and I know this for a fact. That the doctrine of the eternal torment of most of humanity is a draw. It's a lighthouse. It's like a light bulb to a bug. Wow. This place is sick. This is exactly what Satan did. I would hire a music director or music pastor. I would advertise using statements like, if you're looking for a church home, yeah, that was the beginning line. If you're looking for a church home, I'll never forget a church sign near my house in Greenwich, Ohio, when I lived on the farm. Every time I would walk to work to my office downtown, there was a church sign. It was one of those yellow signs with the spinning daisies, you know? You see, that helps too. Mr. Sheridan forgot to add that I would have signs with spinning wheels, spinning daisies. And I remember this sign one time said, "We want our church to be your home." Well, strange that God doesn't dwell in temples built by human hands. Strange that the only home now for those who are interested in God, for those who love God, is really to have the Spirit of God homing, making its home in you. There it is. The Spirit of God makes its home in us. So wherever we are, we're home. Our home is not any place outside of ourselves. I'm not speaking of a Eckhart Tolle type of New Age doctrine here, where we are gods. It's just that the Spirit of God, which is something that exists outside of us. See, the New Age movement makes everything inside of you. Nothing comes to you from outside. You don't need anything from the outside in the New Age movement. You don't need resurrection. You don't need any kind of spirit to come into you apart from you. No. They think they're gods. This isn't much better. Making something built by human hands, something run by human beings that went through a religious system of training, an assembly line. It's not much different. Oh, one time, during the summer, that stinking church sign, the church was on, what road was that? Greenwich Angling Road, and the church was right across from a cemetery, which was so appropriate. It was July, it was very hot, and that church sign said, "You think it's hot now?" You remember these church signs were popular when they were on billboards too, where people were putting words into God's mouth. They would have a statement in quotation marks, and then the byline underneath said, "God," which irritated the crap out of me. Here you have all of Scripture. You can pull from any verse in Scripture, even a misappropriated verse. But no, they make shit up and then they attribute it to God. Boy, did that make me mad, especially this one. "You think it's hot now? God." That so ticked me off. Now, fortunately, ladies and gentlemen, I would walk to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. It is the only time in my life where I considered vandalism. Well, I kind of did vandalize that sign, actually. It so ticked me off. I was going to change God to dog, or rearrange the letters, just for the hell of it. I considered going home and taking all the letters into consideration and making another message using the available letters. That seemed too complicated. So what I did was I took every freaking letter off of that sign and put it on the ground at 5 in the morning. That's vandalism. I'm not real proud of this, but that's what I did. And the next day, as I would drive by it during the day, I noticed that they put the letters back up. The next morning at 5 a.m., I would put the letters back on the ground. Next day, driving by, the letters were back up. By this time, I was afraid that they would post a sentry outside of the church. Or put a camera out there so they can catch the culprit. Then I realized this isn't the way to go. As the book of Revelation says, "Let those who are filthy be filthy still." So I don't do anything like that these days. I just let them go. I let them go their way. And after one and a second admonition, I guess then my letters would be, me putting those removable letters on the ground was my way of an admonition. And I did it twice. So after one and a second admonition, let them be. They put themselves out. Part of me thought that they would, the optimistic part of me, which I'm not optimistic anymore. Not at all. The optimism has been driven out of me, ladies and gentlemen. It's a sad, sad thing. I'm not optimistic about much of anything these days. I guess that comes from having, you know, being beset by trials over the years and being disappointed. So that's one I learned to live one day at a time. So my optimism was that the church leaders would think, maybe it's God doing this. Maybe God is displeased with us. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit taking the signs down instead of some guy walking past, throwing the letters on the ground. But, oh yeah, this one doesn't work. And some things I'm a very slow learner. I would advertise using statements like, "If you're looking for a church home, blah, blah, blah." I would make people think that the greatest problems in the world are due to bad morals. Ooh, Mr. Sheridan is getting into dangerous territory here. He's getting into controversial territory. These morals would be artificially contrived, of course. I would make them up myself. Oh, that is beautiful. Satan has made up morals. The world's morals, the world's ideas, just like the Pharisees. The 613 laws in the law of Moses was not enough for them. They added to them. They added burdens that not even they could bear, and yet they expected the people to bear these burdens. God's quote, burdens weren't enough. But, I mean, if the law could be done perfectly, it wouldn't be a burden, but the law could never be done perfectly. But that is so true. The Christian religion has made up sins that aren't even sins. You can't really reason with them and show them that their own moral qualms, their own superstitions aren't sins. They're convinced that they're sins. Whatever that person is against is a sin. But whatever that person, speaking of a Christian, whatever that person assents to or consents to, then that's fine. It's fine for them, but whatever they don't like, that's a sin for everybody else. They make it up as they go. Artificially contrived, yes. I would make them up myself, these moral standards. This would suit my ultimate purpose because people focused on morals are man-centered rather than God-centered. Wow. Well done, Mr. Sheridan. I'm not done with the article yet, but that was a good statement. Satan wants to keep people focused on morals that are man-centered rather than God-centered. Most people think that the Bible is a recipe book for good behavior. Most people think that the Bible, the scriptures, are a list of things that God wants people to do. You might say, well, wasn't that what the law of Moses was? No, not ultimately. The law of Moses was to show people their inability to do the dictates of God. What the scriptures are a revelation of God. It's a documentation of his works. And of course, there are a lot of human beings in that story, and we see the human beings reacting to what God is doing. And most of the time, they're failing, they're misinterpreting God, they're operating on a level of human pride, they're operating on a level of human self-righteousness. And so we see people reacting badly to God. But chiefly, it's an account of God's work. If you go to the scriptures, if you go into the Word of God thinking this is a revelation of God, instead of this is a recipe book for my behavior, then you're on the right track to spiritual revelation. Yes, it would suit my ultimate purpose, says Satan. Because people focused on morals are man-centered rather than God-centered. They would be so proud of their morality that they would have no time to consider the true implications of the cross of Christ. Isn't that true? So proud of their own morality. I know people like this. You think that the Pharisees are long dead and gone, but they're not. They're not. The Pharisees are among us. I mean, not among us, the body of Christ, but we're surrounded by them. Grace would then be eliminated. Whew! I can't have people thinking about Christ and his accomplishments. Yeah, the elimination of grace. I hinted, talked about that yesterday. Talking about my breakfast with Phil Meal, who said people hate him because of his grace belief. Guys, Satan cannot have grace. And so he builds these religions that use the word grace, just like they use the name of God. They use the name of Christ, but it's a false God and a false Christ. Well, their grace is a false grace. It's not grace. They like to use the words. They like to use the word sovereignty of God. They like to use the words grace. They like to use the words salvation. And yet none of these things are a true representation of what they actually are. They're a distortion of the truth. And that's the sickness of Christianity. It's a distortion of the truth. It's based on a truth, based on true things, God, Christ, grace, salvation. But they're all distorted like a funhouse mirror, and they're twisted until they're not what they are at all. But they're what the Christians say they are, which is always a misrepresentation. I would use every technique possible. Oh, this is going to be controversial. I almost hate to read this line. But I think it's kind of true. Please forgive me for this. I didn't write this, but I am passing it on to you. Satan speaking, I would use every technique possible to appeal to women. Hmm. Much of the above would already appeal greatly to women. I must get the women at all costs, because if I get the women, the majority of men will surrender. Now, as you know, I have a very high opinion of women. And I've written books on it, Eve Raised, Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. But women are famous for being more emotional than men. I think it's fair to say that. I don't think anybody would argue with me on that. And today, in society at large, men have been emasculated, and the sexes, this is another satanic ploy to amalgamate the sexes, and we see it really on steroids now, to make no difference between the genders. Of course, nobody likes the idea of a man being head of the home, of a home of two believers. That's really out of vogue today. And so, yes, I think that is part of Satan's ploy, is to appeal to women. Well, why am I apologizing for Eve for this? Because Eve, the first woman, was deceived by Satan. Adam was not deceived, by the way. The woman was deceived, and the man, Adam, joined her in the sin because he didn't want her to be alone. Can you imagine that? She's separated by the iron curtain of sin. His woman over here and him over here. That couldn't be, because God told him to be fruitful and multiply. So Adam, knowing what he was doing, partook of the forbidden fruit. And thus he was a perfect type of Christ, because Christ also, having no sin, partook of the fruit of sin. He wasn't a sinner, of course, but he partook of the fruit of it, and he was surrounded by sinners. Many women are disturbed by the verse that when Paul says women will be saved through the childbearing. You have to look at every time the word salvation is used, it doesn't necessarily mean aeonian life. It depends on the context. In this context, there's a stigma upon women, just like there's a stigma upon the Israel types. And the stigma on women is based on the fact that a woman, Eve, was seduced and brought the whole human race into sin, even though Adam, being the head, is the representative man. As an Adam, all are dying. It doesn't say as an Eve, all are dying. Adam was the representative. He was the head of that union, and so he was responsible, and so his name is put for it. But women are saved through the childbearing, in that Eve, God sowed in a remedy there that Eve would produce the Savior. Through her seed, the head of Satan would be crushed. How appropriate. Satan had seduced her, brought the whole race into sin and death. Eve produced the Savior eventually. Jesus Christ came of a woman, which was appropriate. Very clever of God, very clever. Redeems the woman from the curse. Of course, we know the Israel types, they're stigmatized because, well, they kind of, sort of, like, killed Jesus Christ. Just between me and you, don't spread it around. They are redeemed when God puts his law on their hearts and finally makes them the head of all the nations. But it's 100% work of God. Oh, here it is. Oh, yeah, and men do tend to follow women these days. Gotta keep the woman happy. That's the attitude out there. You know, I mean, yeah, to a certain degree, you do have to keep the woman happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Am I going to get bad comments on this video? Probably, well, I might. But that doesn't stop me, of course. Onward I go. What happened to men being men, you know? I would emphasize words like love. How ironic is that? That love has become a false word. It's become a soulish, mushy love. Like those people who are saying that the way you discipline your children is just you love them with sugar, you love them with spice, and you love them with everything nice. You don't hurt them, you don't do anything mean to them, because then they will hate you for the rest of their lives. Yeah, and the whole world has become this way. Love. Beatles type love. All you need is love. It's an emotional love. It's a Hallmark love. It's a sweet hearts and flowers love. It's not true love at all. Not at all. God loved Christ, and true love sent Christ to the cross for the sins of the world. There you go. Take that as a clue. I would emphasize words like love, diversity, and acceptance. There it is. Accept, why would you not want to accept? Isn't acceptance the best thing? We ought to accept all people, accept everything. We ought to accept. I accept your teaching. I accept your belief. That's your truth. Oh, yes, we accept everybody, and it's like kumbaya. All the world is in a love embrace. Just like Born to Be Wild. Take the world in a love embrace. Yeah, I can pull from all kinds of songs to illustrate the soulish love that many, almost all people in religion embrace. And some even in our camp embrace that kind of love. Diversity. Oh, yeah, diversity. Acceptance. These words and concepts would attract millions of people. Isn't that the truth? Especially women. Just reading. Since I have effectively feminized so many men, the men will put up no resistance. That's generally the truth. My emphasis would be humanistic love. God's definition of love will be lost. That's what I'm trying to bring back to you. God's definition of love. Love has become humanized. It has become hallmarked. I hate that. I'm trying to bring back true love. My emphasis would be humanistic love. God's definition of love will be lost. Truth will take a back seat. Truth will be replaced with sensual feelings. There it is. Sensual feelings. Being ruled by the soul, not the spirit. Spirit is tough. You look at Paul's tough love. Look at our Lord's tough love. People have told me, you're mean. I say, you shouldn't call people names. So I'm just following the cue from my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, called the Pharisees a brood of vipers, whitewashed walls, blind leaders of the blind. I mean, Paul called the circumcision dogs, made up a funny name for them, the maimcision, mocked them mercilessly. I love it. I imitate it. If I were the devil, last paragraph, if I were the devil, all this is what I would do. All these things would prevent people from reading scriptures properly ever again. People will assume my organization to be based on scripture. Oh yeah, because they carry that book around that says Holy Bible. But it's not properly translated. It contains serious, deadly, and diabolically designed mistranslations, leading the people into sick teachings like eternal torment, which they love. They would never figure out that the whole system was invented by me, says Satan. And that's true. The whole system. All religious systems, not only the Christian system, but the Muslim system, the Buddhist system, the Hindu system, all invented by Satan. The followers of the Apostle Paul would then look like inconsiderate, arrogant, and unloving radicals. Wow. Some people think I'm that. Some people think I'm inconsiderate, arrogant, even narcissistic, and unloving. Because Paul, not only his teaching has been lost, not only his gospel has been lost, but his tough love has been lost. The followers of the Apostle Paul would then look like inconsiderate, arrogant, and unloving radicals. That's true. If you don't toe the line of the feminized world, if you don't toe the line of the soulish world, including the religious world, then you look like you're inconsiderate, arrogant, mean, and unloving. I've been accused of all of those things, but I'm none of those things. The followers of the Apostle Paul would then look like, yeah, because every, the people who were stuck with Paul would then be so unique, so strange, so above the rest, so out of the ordinary, that they would stick out like sore thumbs, and they would be, why are you people so mean? But actually, you take away the societal mores of today, you take away the political correctness, and most people were serious, tough love people back in the day. But of course, Satan has turned everything around. Now we're all lovey-dovey. Now we don't hurt anybody. We're very careful about people's feelings. We don't want to upset the apple cart. We don't want to make people feel bad. We don't want to tell anybody they're wrong. That's all satanic. Satan has made all of that the soup du jour. And that soup is full of flies. Yeah. Flies that have just landed on dog poop and then they go into the soup. So they would look like inconsiderate, arrogant, unloving radicals, just like their apostle. Yeah, because Paul was a tough dude. Paul was not a fun guy, I don't think. But I think he'd love you more than anybody else. And he would do what was necessary to love you, even if it was tough, even if it hurt your feelings, even if he had to tell people to stay away from this guy, do this. I mean, Paul was full of exhortations and tough love, that guy. Concerning the followers of the Apostle Paul, Dan Sheridan concludes here in the voice of Satan, they will go unrecognized. Yes, the followers of Paul and those who teach Paul's teachings like I do would go generally unrecognized. That's the truth. I'm broadcasting the truth on MZTV every day. I am mostly unrecognized, except by those such as yourselves who have the Spirit of God, and you recognize me, and you recognize Paul, and you recognize the Spirit of God. And the things I'm telling you, the things that Satan is telling you through Dan Sheridan here, it's not the norm in our circles. It's not. We are true to the true spirit of our apostle, who is in the true spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's in, of course, the true spirit of God. The final line here is Satan speaking, I would win. And oh yeah, Satan is winning now, big time. He's got more people than we have. Millions and billions more people than we have. So right now we're David. And the system is Goliath. And as soon as you're ready to get all discouraged about that and be forlorn about that and go into the dumps about that, I remind you of one thing here at the end of this show, at the end of the week. David wins.